Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
And we ask, according to the promise you made, that you will be in our midst in the name of Jesus. We also ask that you will speak for us. We ask that, Lord, you will bring clarity to our hearts and you help us to see. And for those who will be joining us online, we pray, Father, that you grant them the grace, you grant them strength and help, that they will be able to concentrate and receive, Lord, instructions from this teaching in Jesus' mighty name. Once again, I ask you to help me. I ask you to give me the right choice of words and examples, and Lord, organize my thoughts for me. Thank you once again. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Good evening, church. Hallelujah. Can we please have our seats? Can I have some fan? I don't know who is supposed to help me with this. Praise God. It's interesting to be here this evening. I want to greet all the servants of God in the house. Mommy Bello and say Pastor Bello. Alright. And all our pastors. Good evening to all and every one of us in Jesus' name. I'm trusting God that for the next 6 weeks that I'll be coming up, the Lord is going to help us in Jesus' name. I want to do a teaching about the riches of the kingdom. But for us to have a proper grasp of why this is important, I need to go over our present situation and some other things that surrounds it. I need to clear certain before I can now start talking about the riches of God's kingdom. Praise God. The first thing that I want to draw our attention to is the creation story. Hallelujah. In the creation story, we see God create the heavens and the earth. Interestingly, the scripture says in verse 2, the earth was without form and the earth was void. I don't understand how God will create something and it will be void. But we do know from archaeological findings that something happened between verse 1 and verse 2 of chapter 1. Praise God. Now, having said that, we realize that everything in the present world system, sorry, not the world system, everything on earth, for the day God created the earth, the heavens and the earth, provisions have been made for all of humanity from the time earth will start and the time the earth will finish. Praise God. In Genesis chapter 2 verse 9, he says, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Praise God. We found that God had made these provisions, provided everything man needs for life and for godliness was provided for. There is nothing outside of God's creation that man can say that God missed this particular aspect of our needs. And for this reason, God is deficient. Praise God. It's interesting to know that man, especially the advanced countries of the world, are looking for life outside the earth system. And they've been looking for it, and they are yet to find any. Praise God. And you must understand why this is happening. Amen. What you are seeing playing out is a combination of factors. What you are seeing playing out is a satanic orchestration to disprove the claims of the Bible that God only started recreation on the earth. Praise God. You will not find life anywhere else in the physical realm. In this universe, you won't find any. One thing I want us to realize that in talking about these things, you must understand the interplay of the spirit realm and the natural realm. Praise God. And I trust God that I will help us to see this in Jesus' name. So God made all these things, and he said he created these things out of the ground to grow every tree, every conceivable tree. Amen. Now, let me say this before I continue. When God made man and recreated the earth was supposed to be a colony of heaven. Can I repeat that? The earth was meant to be a what? A colony of heaven. You remember the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples? He said, let thy will be done on earth as it is done. That was the original concept. That's why I said, let us make man. In other words, anything you see on earth was a replication of what is in heaven. Mind you, I didn't say was. Is in heaven. All the trees you see were things that exist in heaven. All the creatures you see exist except the unclean ones. Because all the unclean ones were speaking prophetically of things that were wrong. Praise God. I hope you're with me, church. Amen. And so the earth and man was basically here to replicate what God is doing there. So, you remember Jesus Christ said, what I see my Father do, that I also do. That is exactly how Adam was supposed to operate. Look at God, implement it here on earth. Look at God, implement it here on earth. Look at God, implement it here on earth. Hallelujah. And so you find out that as a responsible person, he was not going to put man here on earth and have him suffer. Amen. So he had made provisions for his well-being. From the time of the cradle to the time he grows old and the time he will exit the earth. Provisions have been made. Praise God. So on earth, technically, there is no exhaustible resource. There's no resource that is exhaustible. That we finished it. That's finished. Praise God. There is none. Every resource here is inexhaustible. Human beings cannot exhaust it. And like I tell people, the principle of in thermodynamics, what goes in comes out. You don't create anything. Praise God. The whole system is closed. So nothing escapes, nothing gets exhausted. The same amount of gold that had been on earth, it's the same when Adam was created. In fact, if you look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 4 to 6. 2, 4 to 6. The Bible says this. Say, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth. Praise God. I know about the generations of Adam. I know about the generations and the genealogy of Jesus. What is the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were made? Praise God. In that day, God made the earth and the heavens. He didn't make one heaven. He made heavens. Praise God. And they say, our solar system, that has only one sun. One sun.
is the smallest of all the solar systems. Praise God. So there are still galaxies and galaxies and galaxies that is just rolling and rolling. Praise God. But there is nowhere in any of those galaxies that God made a creature like Adam. Praise God. Because he's the only creature in existence, in every realm of existence, that resembles God. Praise God. Why is it that God needed to leave heaven, come and die? What is a man that will make God beat and come and die? He didn't do that for any creature. He did that for something and for someone. And God will help us as we go along in Jesus' name. Now, having said this, you know about the fall. Now, before I get to the fall, I've said this, that all the provisions that Adam will ever need and all the children Adam will ever give birth to, everything will be found here on earth. Everything. The earth was supposed to produce it. Amen. Moses gave them trees. I mean, how do you say? Praise God. Trees that we have the ability to be food. In fact, when man was created, he was not supposed to eat any animal. He was vegetarian. Praise God. Well, there are some people that say that one of the reasons why man's life began to decrease was because he began to eat meat. I have no hand there. Go and do your own research. Praise God. But you notice that the first time God gave man permission to start eating flesh was after the flood. And that was when he began to reduce. He reduced our lifespan to 120 years. He crashed it. And somebody did say that our continuous weakness or immunity compromise, I don't know the combination of English here, please. Are you with me? What I'm trying to say is that our immunity gets compromised because of the kind of food we eat. Praise God. I understand Chinese, Japanese, they live longer life. They have a longer lifespan than those in America and Europe. By way of cracking a joke, they did a study and found that people in America were prone to heart attacks. People in England were more prone to heart attacks. Heart attacks was very low in Japan. It's low in China. It's low in Germany. Praise God. And the conclusion of that study is that English speaking is dangerous for your health. Amen. I was like, really? Praise God. But basically, it's the kind of food we eat. If you eat more of herbs, and you eat more of those things, have you noticed that Igbo people are naturally muscular? You've not observed it. Igbos are naturally muscular. Igbos eat well. When I say well, they eat well. If you see Igbos eat vegetables, and eat all kinds of vegetables, it was an Igbo brother that converted me to eating eba. I never used to like eba. But when I stay with an Igbo brother, my God, I can still see that eba now. I can visualize eba. That eba, by the stew, they will all swoop full stew. And we eat and eat. No wonder they are usually strong. Have you noticed that the Fulani is very thin? Food. He's only eating pura and rice or millet. You can never grow fat. Praise God. So what am I trying to say is this, that God in his wisdom gave man, I hope I'm not trying to convert you. Amen. But maybe you should look at your diet and stop eating a lot of beef. Those of you that like eating beef, maybe you should cool down and eat a lot of vegetables. Praise God. And then they take a lot of herbal tea. In Japan and all those Asian people, they take a lot of herbal tea. I find that you will not see certain ailments disturb them. I understand also that in Russia, they don't microwave their foods. They don't do it. The Western world that does that, you see a lot, they have a lot of health issues. It's just free of charge information. Praise God. Am I communicating? So what I'm trying to say is that God said, I've given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for what? For meat. So the issue of meat, the issue of your food, which is primary reason why you have problems in life, is taken care of. If you all can eat, you will not vote APC. Are you with me? Nimiko started it, said Digoko Sibe. It's food. It's a food problem. If I can control that aspect, then I can control you. Amen. But as far as God was concerned, there was no lack, there was no need, there was nothing. They just were okay. Amen. Until Adam fell. You know the story of before. Praise God. Now, that simple act of disobedience, that sin, created a crisis we are battling with till today. Everything battling it. Because immediately that thing happened, there was a disconnect between the heavens and the earth. Praise God. It was impossible anymore for Adam to look up and see the pattern in heaven and replicate it on earth. Because the person who was now in charge, he told Jesus, said, I will give it to whomsoever I want to give it to. Because it was handed over to me. Amen. God created a pattern on the earth. God made provisions for man. The person who took over truncated that process. Amen. Because we will not understand the importance and the power of the riches of God's kingdom except we can understand the kind of problem we are hearing. Now, I read a lot of books about prosperity. You cannot understand prosperity until we put in the right context in which we are dealing with. Praise God. The question we are now going to have to answer in this discourse is, whose economy will you run? There are only two kinds of economies. Either you are going to run the economy of heaven or you are going to run the economy of the earth. Yes, in our Greek we have what they call mixed cropping. Now, you will not understand why God did not want mixed cropping. What God was trying to teach them is that you can't mix what is righteous with what is unrighteous. That was a simple principle I was trying to communicate to them. Amen. Not that there were particular, okay, we don't use linen with cotton. It's not as if they will react against each other chemically. Praise God. But just try to teach them how to distinguish between good and evil. Praise God. You cannot mix the economy of heaven with the economy of the earth. It doesn't work. Now, many of us do not recognize how the economy of the earth works. And that's the reason why there are people who are rich and there are people who are poor. The truth is that once you master, you understand how the economy of the earth works, it is easy to become rich. Amen. I was arguing with my friend, was saying that Trump is a liar, Trump is this. I said, go and watch the film on, there's another man in England who was like Trump. Exactly like Trump. But on his 60th birthday, he died. So at some point, I don't remember. It's a real life story. I watched the documentary on the man. He's just like Trump. And he began to show his traits when he was small. It was, everything is a transaction. Everything to him was a transaction. Praise God. And he began to show that. So one day, he just said, he just came out of school. He just said he's not working for anybody. He went to a particular store and he began to negotiate. But to cut the long story short, he went to Bangladesh. All these shirts we wear, you see, what is the name of all those things? Next. What are the names of all those? Eh? those designers, eh? P&G, they are made in Bangladesh. He went there and said he would pay them maybe $2 for every shirt. I think it's a one for something dollars for every shirt. And the people who work and do those things are people who are skillful, and they pay them $5 a day, and they can make close to 100 each person per day. So he negotiated those deals, and he will bring those designers to England and will sell them for about $20, $25, $30. How will you not be a rich person? Now, I saw that in that place, the man did have one jack, one naira. He just walks into a bank and talks to the bank manager. I want this money. I want this credit facility. And they'll give him the credit facility. And with that credit facility, he becomes a billionaire without having one naira. He will use bank money to buy something. He will make the money, will pocket the money. When the matter has liquidated, the bank will take over the something and they walk away. It's okay. Praise God. It's because he understands the system. There's a system that is being run. And that system was created by a prince. Not just an ordinary prince, by a cherub. Now let's go to Ezekiel 28. I want to show you something there. This is the characteristics of this creature Ezekiel 28, 14 to 14 to 16. Hallelujah. Are you there? Amen. It says, "Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have said this so." Now, I'm not here talking about the creation of Lucifer. That's not my emphasis tonight, but let's just follow me. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou art walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. 15. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created, till iniquity was found in thee. What was that iniquity? The next verse. By the multitude of thy merchandise. Amen. Someone said, by your trafficking. Let me read another translation. Praise God. Because I need us to understand this. Praise God. A few minutes. Just give me. What? Okay. Praise God. This is interesting. When I saw this thing, I said, sure. Now, let me take it from 14. I chose you to keep my garden safe. So, the Garden of Eden we saw in Genesis was a replication or a replica of a garden where? On the mountain of God. So, that was one of the... That garden you saw there was not the first garden. That was a real garden. So, if I say that, there's a lot of mirroring in this realm that we live in. Praise God. He said, I chose you to keep my garden safe. I gave you that work to do for me. You lived on my holy mountain. I'm reading in easy English translation. You walked among the burning fires. Somebody said the burning fires means the seraphims. Those were princes. Those were angels. These burning fires were angels. Amen. There's a class of the angelic order that he operated within. And like somebody who, there was a man that told us, had an opportunity to see the angelic host, said, like, we have meetings here. We also have meetings in heaven. Praise God. We are angels. Those who are closer to God and know God will come and teach those who don't know much about God, Amen. And their experiences about God. Now, it was a covering tube that covered them. And that covering gave him the grounds to teach and influence and exert influence over the angelic host. Amen. Now, verse 15. He said, you were not bad in any way. You were completely pure on the day that I made you. But later I saw that you had become bad. Now what was the bad? So you bought and sold things. That's the place of the word merchandise. You bought and sold things. You fought for the things that you wanted. That was your sin. So I sent you out of my mountain to make you ashamed. You no longer walk among the fires. 17, but you still thought that you were very great. You like to think that you were very beautiful. You used your wisdom to do things that were wrong. Because of this, I threw you down to the earth. Their king saw how you had fallen. Verse 18, you bought and sold things. But you did it in a way that was not fair. That is how your temples became no longer pure. So I made a fire come out of you to burn you up. Everyone saw you become ashes on the ground. Praise the Lord. Now, this simple short story tells us the nature of the prince that took over from Adam. People say his sin was, he was proud. No. That was not the original sin of Lucifer. The original sin of Lucifer was that he had desire for more, which led to manipulation, which led to control. Praise God. Now, how do you create a system of buying and selling? Is that I create a scarcity here, and I create an abundance here, and he that has scarcity must buy from he that what has what? Abundance. He created the system. And it was not first implemented among the sons of men. It was implemented among the angelic host. And you are the owner of the two. You are the one that has the abundance. You are the one that is sitting here to collect. And God said no. Remember he told Adam, Eve, it is God does not want you to have wisdom, because you know if you have wisdom, you can choose what you want to do yourself. That was the same nature, because he was accusing God that God was hiding things and God was not making things available. But God said all these things is available. Praise God. But there are rules that govern these things. That is the way heaven is governed. It is what God gives, you must gather. If you gather what God did not give, you are a transgressor. I don't know whether I'm making sense. Because if you and I don't understand these basic things, we will not know how to proceed forward. When they begin to dangle things before you, you will not understand what we are doing. And so it came to the earth to implement the same system. Why will a man steal a billion naira? What does he want to use it for? Because he has something in his mind that it is possible that he will come to lack one day. So he needs to acquire. He needs to acquire. It is the same spirit of Lucifer. The spirit. And that is where we have that problem. And so you see him create the impression that something was lacking with them. Something was not just complete. God said, when God created everything, he said it was what? It was good. And he went to rest. He said, no, it is not good because there's something you guys are lacking in. So if there's a lack, there's a demonic operation at work. Praise God. You call it the spirit of poverty. He created an unequal system. Listen to me, in the present world system we are in, nothing is fair. The first time I heard this phrase, there's no party for jungle. I said, really? And it's true. There's nobody. Nobody's looking out for your interest. Nobody gives a hoot if you die or you live or you die. Winner takes it all. Praise God. Now, look at the case of this man called Cain. You remember after Cain killed his brother, God placed a judgment on him. Praise God. Do you remember the story? Or do you want us to go back there? I guess you should remember the story of Cain. Hallelujah. In the story of Cain, the Bible told us that when God placed a curse on Cain said, this cost is too much. This cost is too much. And God said, okay, anybody that kills Cain, there'll be sevenfold. That's where the sevenfold came up. 70 times 70 will be revealed on him. So when Jesus Christ said, when he offend you, 70 times 70, he was countering the operation in the days of Cain. It was a principle in the realm of the spirit that was initiated by satanic operations. So that response was to neutralize what was set into motion. Praise God. So the Bible says, and Cain left the presence of God, married, and he built himself a city. Amen. Do you understand what that means? He began to experiment with men. They began to live an independent life without God, and nobody died. You think it's easy to build a city? How many of us have tried building a house? It takes resources to build a city. Go and ask those who are building estates. It takes billions to put those things together. Praise God. I thought of you yesterday, and I've not heard from you. God bless you. I hope you're not passing through. Don't find somewhere to sit. You can't pass through. This one you hear. Praise God. God has called you that I saw you. Amen. Bele. Compliments. He created a city. He built a city from scratch. It was a massive economic activity. How then did he do it? We are not told. But we saw a man use the resources God gave him to live a life that is independent of God, and he proved that you don't need God to succeed in life. Praise God. And he became an icon in the earth, the first of his kind. And all men began to copy him. You can now see how we came to chapter 6. Because those who followed God did not have the proof. Because those who didn't follow God, they had the proof. And so the heart of man in them became shifted. But this is the way that we pay us. And he paid. Do you remember what Jesus Christ said about the end times? As it was in the days of Noah. What happened in the days of Noah? They were buying and selling. Economy was, that was the first thing you will see. There will be economy boom. Praise God. And I sat down and I began to ask myself, how worketh this system? KJV English. Amen. Apart from that, I've just told you about a person who doesn't use his money. Now, I didn't finish that story of that man. You made that man was given a loan. Complimentary card came with it. They bought him a yacht. Everything came with that. Bank supplied it. Praise God. And then he became a billionaire. And he didn't have one naira. I want to start to stop using speaking Yoruba. Because I'm going international. Praise God. You use somebody else's ori? Else's brain and somebody else's resources to make your own. That is how the system works. Praise God. And the man destroyed people's lives. He destroyed people's lives. They brought him to the parliament. They said he didn't pay taxes. In fact, he messed the MP up. He messed them up. Just like Trump. If you know the scams Trump has done, I support him, praise God. But I said, to point to one rich man anywhere in the world that is not a fraud. Have you found any? All of them. Because they understand how the system works. You've heard about Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You must have read it. But after reading it, have you become richer? It's not by rich. They must call you in. They must show you. But I dare say to you, listen to me. Those riches of Dangote then is not buying and selling. Those things are covenants. I'll still get there. Praise God. They are covenants. They won't tell you. They won't tell you. Even many of this, don't let me go there yet. Let me reserve it when we get to the place. So we find out that these people, as they began to see that you can live this life without God, they all began to prosper. And the Bible says, because there is no judgment against evil, the heart of men is bent in them to do. But there are no consequences. And that is why the Bible says, God is not slow. It is you that think he's slow. God is the most terrible person to offend. He can wait for 1,000 years before he takes his vengeance. But God save you if he starts taking vengeance, because nobody will save you from his hands. Praise God. And so we find out that after Adam sinned, remember, what did God do? He cursed the ground and said the earth would no longer yield and increase. Praise God. I tell you, there's anything that God creates, it has a form of life. They respond to. Once those words went out of God's mouth, the earth stopped yielding and increased. From that day, labor and struggle started. Say, from the brows of your, we eat, sweat, we eat. There's no longer going to be business as usual. So misery entered into the system of man. Satan took over it and began to create a system of abundance and lack. And he kept doing it like that. And he kept prodding some people up and working against the interests of some other people. Praise God. And so sometimes, so when you talk about this person, say, this guy is cursed. How does a curse come? We'll look at it. Because there's a place of curse in the operation of the system, the economy of the system. It was not created by God. Praise God. And so this thing began to roll. And you can see it roll straight down the years until we come to the days of this man called Abraham. Remember Abraham? Now, many of you said Abraham was rich in cattle. He was rich in this. Where did Abraham get his riches? Egypt. Was it the will of God when he got it? No. Was not there. Now, if you look at the history of Abraham, we have no record that it was the inheritance he gave to Isaac that made Isaac rich. We have no such record. God knows, maybe Isaac just wasted it. I don't know. But they didn't mention it. Isaac had to start from scratch. I want to believe. Because when God picked Abraham, he did it for a reason. Oh, we said because of the Messiah. True. But it was also for another reason. Because he needed to set up a contrary system in the earth against what Lucifer was running. Are you with me? Because he must have a testimony of himself in the earth. He can't create the earth and not leave a testimony. And hand it over to the wicked and say the wicked to run. No. He created it. It's his own now. Praise God. I hope you are with me, church. And so he had to find a man called Abraham to run that case. To run that. Noah didn't run it. Praise God. The only work of Noah was basically to preserve the seed of man and not allow it to be wiped out. After Noah, who was the prominent person that came up again? We don't know anything about it. The next person we saw was Abraham. And God needed to prove him whether he was qualified to handle this thing that we call this covenant. Praise God. He needed to be sure. And so we find Abraham showing us not a pattern for riches. The only thing that, where I saw a virtuous attitude in terms of money was the issue of Abraham when he and Lot needed to take a decision. You remember that case? Abraham was rich in cattle. They had come back from Egypt. They had a lot. And those things were multiplying. Praise God. Now, that's one of the things I have to be very careful about. That, see, when God just favors you, he just favors you. Are you with me? God did not look at what happened in Egypt. And for that reason, his cattle will not multiply. Because he was a covenant man, those cattle had no choice but to do what? Multiply. But you will notice that the heart of Abraham was not in those things. His heart was not there. What gave him value? Or rather, what will I say? What, for example, if I meet you, I say, who are you? You said, I'm the richest man in Babylon. Hallelujah. That is your identity. Woe betide anybody that does not say, sir, the richest man in Babylon, sir, we have come to greet you. Amen. You will be offended. I was talking to one of my students today. He said, he called a particular lecturer of ours, Mr. Ah, I said, are you here? If they hear you call him Mr., we are not going to graduate. Because this person spent years to acquire this PhD, and you are calling him Mr., they did not hear it in your mouth. Praise God. You can't catch that. Go to university and call the professor Mr. and see whether you graduate. That's good. Isn't that this Nigeria we're all in? Said the man is born again like pastor. He's not born again. And we're not just born again. Holy Ghost as if not, I won't come and beg for you. Amen. I'm not even saying preacher. They said 28 minutes. Wow. Praise God. You are sure following me. I'm just laying the foundation. Eh? It's introduction. Eshigon. So, both of us are grazing. And we are fighting over grazing. No, it was, grazing land was scarce. Remember, it was not scarce when God made it in Genesis. It was not scarce. The whole earth was fertile. In case you don't know, there was a period in the earth's history that all the continents were one landmass. The Bible said God called the earth to come out of the water. The whole landmass came out of water and stood on water. Amen. Are you with me? But it was interesting that in the New Jerusalem, there is no sea. I don't know what sea did to God. Praise God. I think sea must be a type of barrier for something. But the whole land. But later on, there was a particular time that the whole earth broke up. And then all the continents drifted away. I came across information that under Antarctica, they did this probe and found out that under those miles of ice was once a green vegetation. Forests were in Antarctica. This Sahara was all forest and it became a desert. What happened? We'll talk about that. It is the same lack and abundance. When, if you go to Isaiah chapter 40, when they spoke about Lucifer, son of the morning, one of the things the Bible said about him, that when he fell, most of the people looked at him narrowly and said, how are that fallen old Lucifer, son of the morning? Tell you that weaken the nation. That means you destroyed nations. And nations have to make covenant with him so that they don't get destroyed. Praise God. That's how people get into the snare of the fowler. Are you with me? Because it's like he tries to destroy family, and the family, in order to stay alive, has to go and enter into a covenant relationship with him. You now know why God had to institute the curses in Deuteronomy. People talk about, in Christ we have been delivered. But you forget that when your ancestors enter covenant with Lucifer, some of those covenants come with poverty. But that is going to be the price you are going to pay for getting what you want from him. Praise God. Now your forefather that entered that covenant may become very wealthy, but the succeeding generations may become very poor. You need to break that covenant. Praise God. But there are things you don't even know about. You don't know when it was done. You don't even know anything. It's just there. Like I found out communities who were once powerful and they went to make covenants with fallen angels that God will not come into their communities. The same community today, they are poor. No good will come there too. The same spirit that blocks war will block good. When good comes, they won't see it. Do you follow me? They won't see it. It's the same spirit. Praise God. And so you find Abraham said to his nephew, I'm not going to fight. Because we said of Satan, said you fought for everything you wanted. You not know why God said that? Can't you allow them to teach you? Do you understand? There are certain things in the Bible. In fact, virtually everything in the Bible, many of them are responses to what happened in the realm of the spirit. Amen. It's not as if the person just came on and said, writing. No. God was answering spirits. And the only way you can deal with those spirits is learn those things and do exactly what they did. Because you can be sure they will repeat the same thing they did in those days. They can't improve. Satan is not going to improve. Praise God. It's still the same three things he will use. That's the answer to what he did to Eve is what John replied. Love not the world, neither the things which are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of Father is not in him. What are the three things he said we should not love? Lust of the world, flesh, lust of the eyes, and what? Pride of life. Those three things you will find in that temptation of Eve. The same thing. It's still the same technology. It's still the same way to fight it. No change. Praise God. So Abraham will not fight for what is rightfully his. He brought, for crying out aloud, he was the one who brought Lot. He was the one who fed him. Probably was the one who paid his dowry of his wife. Do you understand? He fed his family. He took care of them. He protected them. He did everything for him. And this stupid boy is flexing. I paid your money through school. You understand? You don't know what Ori. English. You are not appreciative. I said I won't speak Yoruba again, but you are not helping me. Just edit that one out when you do the editing. Praise God. So that I can maintain my praise God. But did Abraham do that? No. Because you must guard your heart with all diligence, the Bible says. Don't let these things hold your heart. Abraham will not let that hold his heart. He said to Lot, said, choose. If you go this way, I'll go that way. If you go that way, I'll go this way. And the Bible now said, Lot looked up. May you not look to the wrong direction. He looked up, surveyed everywhere and saw that the land of Sodom and Gomorrah was green. Good for his cattle. Green like lush green. When you see green grass, my God, you yourself will know that breakthrough has come. Hallelujah. But that was a vital information that Lot knew about. Lot knew about it. He was not ignorant. But the people of Sodom were wicked before the Lord. He knew about it, but he felt he can handle them. He can handle them. Praise God. And left his uncle with the desert where there is no green grass to eat. They have to be scavenging for food for them to survive. Praise God. Are you with me? Now, when you get to that kind of situation in life, it is still the same thing that all of us are going to have to deal with. Whose economy are you going to run on? Are you going to run on the economy of heaven or are you going to run on the economy of the earth? Most times, believers believe that heaven is too far away. And so Paul now responded without thought. Who will go up? Oh, sorry, who will go to the grave to bring Jesus from the dead? Or who will go up and bring him down? Tell what the scripture say. Tell the word is near thee. Even in thy mouth. Even the word we preach. The word of what? Faith. Amen. Are you going to go and bring Jesus? Of course, let me tell you the truth. If I were with the apostles those days, and just said I'm going, I will not be happy. You know what he was doing for them? Their whole life was taken care of. While they followed him, you know, on all the mission field, their family was not poor. They just sent SMS to Peter and said, there's no school fees, so better come home now and come and face your... No. Maybe we just call his life. How are you doing? Somebody just stopped me and said, you should take. That person looked like an angel. Hallelujah. And I was okay. Supernaturally, they were taken care of. But when he said he was going, God said they were downcast. Who would not be downcast? Who would not be? Because they were never hungry. Then when I said to her, did you lack anything? They said, we lack nothing. Say, now you will lack. Amen. You will now lack. You will now go and face the princes of this world. You will now know what it is to lack. But they all needed to make a choice. Whether they were going to rely upon the economy of heaven or they're going to use the economy of the earth. Praise God. Now, I was going to say a thought that I almost forgot. The problem we have is how, who will go up and bring the economy down? Because the way creation exists, or the way faith exists, one thing that many of us have not grasped is the fact that faith does not deny the facts. Praise God. There's a fact. And that's what we can see. God gave us intelligence to be able to deduce that this is the situation. Praise God. We have a bad case. They came to Jesus and said, these people have been with us for the past 3 days and they are fainting. They want to die. Send them. That was the fact. They must go and find food. And he said, have them sit down, feed them. They now look at Jesus. With due respect, Daddy, it's obvious you are not thinking. If we buy a whole year's wages, we earn a whole year, and buy food, we can't feed these people. How many were there? No, there were 5,000 men. Not 5,000 people. 5,000 men. Their wives came. Their children came. So let us use calculation of 2 children per 1 man and 1 wife. That's 3 times 5,000. At least 20,000. Tell me, what economy will feed those guys in the desert? No clue. No clue. And they were right. He said, sir, with due respect, it can't be done. Let them go, sir. If it was the military, they would salute again, sir. They would say, sir. Praise God. And he said, what do you have? And then they must have looked at each other. What are you talking about? They would have talked to Peter. Talk to your master. This man has problems. Maybe the sun is affecting him. He has been preaching for 3 days. Can you not preach for 3 days? No food, no water. 3 days. Are you kidding me? And Jesus didn't use microphone. He was not speaking like me. How long you? And you screamed at a child the whole day and screamed for 3 days. The man was... Something's happened on his son was beating him. I'm not balanced again. No. Praise God. But Philip came and said, there's a boy here that has 2 fishes and... Is it 2 fishes or there are 2 stories really? What does the boy do with 2 fishes? For 3 days the fish would have spoiled. Maybe they were roasted.
53 roast them. Do they roast fish in Israel? We're there. Praise God.
Maybe just roasted, really. I don't know. And the bread would have been still. Me, I don't eat after second day bread. Bread, do we know bread? By holding bread, I know the number of days that spent. If it is fresh or it's not fresh. The people bought bread and I got to, by the following day, I said, didn't you test it before you collected it? Now this girl scammed us. Hallelujah. But you see Jesus leveraging on the economy of heaven. The problem we have is that the invisible is very far away. It's very, very far for many of us. And we cannot see how we can draw from that and bring down here. Hallelujah. By the grace of God, next week I will talk about the warfare of the end times. It's instructive to know that Satan is, of all that Satan has done for us, all the occultic operations, all the lies, all the persecutions, the greatest and the last war is going to fight against the Son of Man. It's going to be economic. I want to look at the models of how heaven intervened and subverted his schemes. Because if we don't find out how heaven did it, we may just not know what to do when we're going to run into that problem. Praise God. One other thing I want to say, as I want to round up, I still have time, but I don't want to start what I want to start, so that I don't get ahead of myself. Praise God. Amen. Now, James was very critical. In James 4:13, let me go to James 4:13. I'll just take two more scriptures, then we'll go. It says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we shall go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. You find out that the whole system that Satan has orchestrated is centered around buying and selling. If you doubt me, try and live for 3 days without spending one error. And try and see whether you will find it easy at all. Don't buy bread. Don't take cab, check. What are things you spend money on daily basis, those daily necessities? Try and see how you can survive without money. Or for goodness sake, give everything to the poor. If you are single, it will be very simple to do. If you are married, it is an invitation to anarchy. Praise God. You find that our life is woven with buying and selling. That is everything our life is all about. You buy, you sell, you buy, you sell, you buy. And it's called rat race. Everybody's running up and down. I want to become this. I want to become that. Why is everybody trying to become something? Because you want something in your pocket. Amen. And I don't mind. Even if people give me money, if you give me billions, I can. But I haven't done all. The wisest man, Solomon, you remember when he prayed the prayer, that pious prayer, said, Lord, give me wisdom. I want to judge your people. I want to know so that I will not misjudge your people. Pious prayers. But you don't know Solomon. His father said, I know you're a wise man. That means corny day, brain day. And he played brain with God. Underneath that prayer, you will find the answer in Ecclesiastes. He said, I wanted to know what is good for man under the sun. That was what is in his heart. But just like God, he just embellished it. And God saw what was in his hand. Said, I will give you the riches. Then you will know madness from stupidity. Anything your eyes see, I will let you have it. Are you with me? The solution to our problem is not acquiring more. Solomon acquired all that can be acquired. No one has acquired what Solomon acquired till recorded it. I was going through YouTube one day like that, and they said the richest man that has ever lived. I said that's a lie. The only man that was rich was Solomon. Nobody was as rich as Solomon. Till he died, till today, no one was as rich as Solomon. Not even nations were as rich as Solomon. Praise God. He acquired. So, you find that the spirit of this world is a spirit of acquisition. It's like you must acquire. You remember Jesus Christ was saying in Matthew chapter, this chapter of Matthew. Look at this, Matthew chapter 6. Can we take it from verse 28 or so? Matthew 6. This is what Satan has done to the nations of the earth. It says, why take ye thoughts for raiment? You remember raiment was the problem of Adam. The first thing that Adam did for himself after he found he was naked was to do what? Get raiment. Shelter. Then what was the second thing? Let's consider the leaves of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Next verse. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, Ogu, do you know how glorious Solomon's glory was? Did you get that play of words? How glorious his glory was. Amen. All of you that are pursuing Ogo, no one has hit that glory. And even the preachers that are preaching the glory, God, they have not come close to it. Solomon was so glorious that a queen saw his glory and she fainted. Only God knows what she saw. Holy God, when we get to eternity, we'll ask God, show us what this woman saw. Amen. Am I talking to us? And yet, Jesus compared Solomon's glory to the lily of the field, the flower, ordinary flower. He says it's not as arrayed as the flower. That is a very, 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 very sad commentary. Heaven did not value what Solomon paid so much energy or expended so much energy to acquire. They didn't value it. Next verse, 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. Remember that what formed the Gentile nations were the offspring from Noah, remember. But God picked the family lineage of Abraham and formed it. So anything that was not Gentile, but that was not of Abrahamic seed, were all Gentiles. So Satan had a free reign. He had a free course, praise God. It governed the nations. So it becomes funny to me when people come and say the religions of their fathers. I said the religion of father was a dark religion. The religion of fathers that could not stand against the shakabula that we both brought. At least you were here during the times and seasons. You told us how they captured the most powerful man in our village. When the most powerful juju man was captured, what will the rest of us do? Be converted. That is what you are going back to. The Bible calls them the beggarly elements. Don't think these people were not supernatural. Don't forget, if you try it, you will suffer. You suffer, you should not suffer. Ah, there is power. If you get to where there is occultic power, you will bow. Amen. But this way, what our spiritual ancestors confronted and took them out. They just took them out and neutralized them and did as if nothing happened. Those are the gods we want to go back to. Either you are sick, or you're a lunatic, or a combination of the two. Can't go back that way. So when Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, he said, I want to write to you concerning the things which are spiritual. The Corinthian church was conversant with spiritual entities and powers. They just didn't worship those spirits because they want to worship. No, those things were real. And in case you don't know, I told somebody, you know, it was strange to me one day when I discovered that Baal, what they call Baal, is the same thing as Shango. Is the same Nashongo, the same spirit that was Baal in the land of the Philistines and land of Israel, is the same Shongo my people were worshipping down here. Praise God. Eh? And it's called Thor in Scandinavia. The Thor we watch in Avengers. That you say, hey, he's Shongo. They just made it do film. If you two get smart, you can convert your own Shongo to something and make your own money and go there and live. Praise God. They've converted all those Avengers you see are all fallen angels. They converted them to television. And we, this is what Thor did. I thank God for the blood of Jesus. Only God will say, let us just keep these guys. Someone was telling us a few days ago of how a girl demonstrated occultic powers. How did she get occultic powers? She watched Merlin. Just watching Merlin. And so she got to class and one of the teachers sat and saw the door close. Door of class on his own close. Bam. And the door opened again. And the door closed. Bam. The woman who was a believer knew that this is not ordinary. Now you would think it was wind. So she got to pray. Holy Ghost, who is the person? And she now found it was one girl and called her. You were the one who did that. Say yes. How did you do it? Say, I just thought of it. Telekinetics. Doctor Strange. They've done it to films. But it's occult. Witchcraft. Sorcery. They are bringing it back. But we're enjoying it. If not, whoa. Praise God. But me, I know where it's coming from. So, these things are there. She just remembered that was how Merlin did, and she just thought it, and the thing, they were already opening her up into that world. Have you had people say, anytime I dream, the dream comes to pass, and it's not born again. It's occultic power. Lay hands on the person and cast out that demon. He won't dream again. Praise God. Am I making sense to us? These are the things the Gentiles live for. Everything, that's what defines them. So when you begin to read books on prosperity, where is it coming from? Where is the person writing from? What spirit is teaching that person? By what inspiration is he writing off? I said, was it Sunday I spoke about Creflo Dollar? Who was talking about tithe? I'm not. Look, understand Lucifer well. I told us about a ninja. It was a film too I watched. Me too, I watch films sometimes. They gave that guy a ninja. Samurai ninja or something like that. They gave him a piece of paper. And the guy began to fold it. And began to fold it. And he just turned it to a very sharp object. Paper, ordinary paper, touch it. So he goes in that it's ordinary paper. But by the time it touched the hand of this guy, it turned into a killing weapon and took that man in one of his arteries. That's how the man just numbed and died. And it worked out. Lucifer can take what is in your hands and turn it against you. You don't know him properly. So Paul said we are not ignorant of his devices. That is the way he operates. He can take your tithe and use it against you. He can take your piousness and use it against you. So Solomon answered and said, don't be over righteous in much. So why should you die before your time? Are you with me, church? So when you talk about the earth, there is a spirit operating. Let me close with Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2. Let me just go over that and I will go for today. Ephesians 2. Hear what Paul was writing. We've gone over this thing several times. So you are it quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to what? There is a course of this world. Do you remember? Please understand this. One of the most terrible things or important things about cherubims is that they are custodians of ways. They are custodians of what? Ways. You know when God drove out Adam and Eve from the garden, who did he put to guard the way back? The cherubs. Lucifer is a custodian of ways. He creates paths. That is why they fight against them. These ones, you don't cast them out. Paul responded in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. He said, we cast down imaginations. Those imaginations is a higher level of demonic encounters. These ones you cast out, you see this or that, jumping, oh yeah, small. You don't need to fast and pray. Hallelujah. You also that one that is jumping up there. If I get there and I meet you, yeah, out, you continue your work, he will leave. But this one you are dealing with is difficult to cast out. Because it's dealing with what? Imaginations. They are the one who are ring the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air. He's a prince, not princess, a prince. Power of the air. Amen. Where in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. In other words, this spirit is promoting disobedience. It is always and is continuing and continual at work to promote disobedience. The first thing you see in the church, the people that gave their life to Jesus in the hands of an apostle, because they became obedient to what? To the apostles' doctrine. When you see all kinds of anarchy, act of disobedience, that is an operation of a prince. Praise God. And it's not automatic that when you get born again, the thing cuts off. No. That's why in church you still have to be begging some people not to fight. And guess what? I swear, in my father's house, we are fighters. He's a prince. He's working. No amount of deliverance can deliver. You must cut him off from that prince. You must disconnect that cord. The same principle now, the umbilical cord. Are you with me? A baby in the mother's womb takes food from the womb of the mother through the umbilical cord. Everything the child needs is there. Praise God. Once you cut that cord off, if you don't bring that baby out, that baby will die. Abby? If you want to deliver anybody from this spirit, you just cut off that umbilical cord. But you must connect him to another spirit immediately. Otherwise he will die for lack of nourishment. Praise God. I'll continue next week, God helping us. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocese every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.